Hello guys, welcome back to the Good Vibes Club. In today's episode, I'm back with Jade again. We all know and love Jade. You guys absolutely loved her on the podcast last time. So we thought we'd do another episode together, just talking about all things influencer life. And this episode came from a conversation while we were sitting having coffee before recording. And we just decided that it would be a really good topic to talk about all of the things to do with influencing that maybe don't get discussed online. Kind of feeds into the whole trend at the moment of like social media isn't real, but just talking about all the things that we maybe aren't as open about online, whether that's, you know, engagement or rates or how much we get paid for things and how it affects body image when you get trolled, all that good stuff. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the dark side of influencer life, then definitely keep listening. You all flipping love Jade, so I know you're going to have a right giggle at this episode, because honestly I have cried laughing editing. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, get cozy and enjoy. Welcome to the Good Vibes Club, a normal girl's guide to living your best life and being the best version of yourself. Whether you're listening on a commute, out on a hot girl walk, or curled up on your sofa, sit tight and get ready to feel those good vibes. Hello guys, welcome back to the Good Vibes Club and another episode with the lovely Jade.
Hello!
If you haven't listened to the last one, I recommend going back. We did a big juicy episode all about being a woman, turning 30, how it changes your mindset on things, like the pressures of aging and beauty and all
we
that kind of good stuff.
We got into it.
We did, but we also giggled like 4,000
yeah,
times.
Yeah, I apologise for that. There's going to be a lot of loud laughter.
A lot of giggling. For today's episode though, we're going to switch it up a little bit and we're going to be talking all about the juicy dark side of being an influencer. Ooh. And we kind of thought there's so many things that people ask about and want to know about, and we thought, you know what, let's just really get into it and talk about all of the things that are kind of like the taboo side of it, I yes. guess, and like the stuff that no one really
nobody
knows about,
nobody mentions, and it's just like smashing down a little bit of the yeah. preconceived notions and like the like general ideas of what it's like.
Yeah, which kind of sparked from basically we went for a coffee before we started recording and we were just having a chit chat, weren't we, about yeah. like all the things of being an influencer. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know what, let's just make
yeah.
it into an episode.
We're getting into this quite deep. We can make this into something.
But let's go. So how long have you been doing like social media stuff for?
I have been doing social media for 7 years now, and then I've done it full-time, like quit my job full-time to do influencing for 2 years in May. So not that long really full-time, but I've been in the industry.
You've been in like, the industry for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I've been in it for a while. I'm established, if you will.
I like to think it's like not the OGs, because I don't think by any means we're the OGs in terms of the OG like big timers.
Yes.
Like we're not making millions. No. We don't have 10 million followers on YouTube.
No.
But I think like you, so I've been doing it for, I don't even know how long, but I've been doing it full time since I left uni, and I left uni in 2016.
Wow.
So I've literally been, this is my
did
only ever full time job.
Did you not get a job after uni? You didn't.
I had a job for like 6 weeks. I worked at an influencer agency, but I absolutely hated it.
Oh.
And it wasn't what I thought it would be. So I went into that job and I was like told it would be very different to what it ended up being, and I just was like, this isn't for me. Like I'm doing well on my socials, like I want to travel a lot, and I just thought, you know what, if I'm not gonna do it now, when am I gonna do
yeah.
it?
When's
so I just literally had no money and quit and was like, whoops. But then it took
that's
off and it was fine
time.
So
I think that's the best time to do it though, like because I did it, I had a mortgage. Well, I've still got a mortgage.
The mortgage
it hasn't disappeared yet. Yeah,
she's now in a shoebox.
But I like left when I've had a mortgage and stuff, so like I worked in insurance for like 6-7 years before I went and did it all. So it was more of an adjustment because I had to be brave enough to leave a full-time
yeah.
pay packet to pay my mortgage and everything else to give it a go. It was a real like leap of faith almost.
It's terrifying.
I cried so much when I had to phone my manager to say that I was leaving. They knew it was coming anyway because they knew what I did. I never kept it a secret and they were so encouraging. They were so great. But I cried so much. I like her name was Sam and she's just the loveliest. I love her so much. She was my manager and I phoned her. I was like, Sam. And she was like, oh God, you're leaving, aren't you? I was like, yes, Sam, I'm leaving. But no, she was so lovely and it was just, oh, I don't know. They made it very, very easy for me, which was great. But it was just, it's so scary, especially when you go, because it's, you're self-employed essentially,
yeah.
which is, I don't know. I think people forget that that's what it is. You're being self-employed. You're taking your social media, as it will, full time. You're giving up any other opportunities and everything else to
like the regularity of a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah, like a consistent paycheck and like maternity cover and sick pay and like everything else, you're giving that up, and like holiday, paid holiday.
Yeah,
imagine imagine.
Our holidays are now work.
Yeah. Yeah. This is another thing.
This is the one thing I find really interesting, though, is like when you say, oh, I'm a full-time creator, people are like, oh, so you just get paid to post. How does that work? Yeah. Like, it's always, how do you make your money?
Yeah.
One thing that infuriates me more than anything in this world, this is a slight sideline, but it's related, is when people say to me, like, it happens all the time as well. People are like, so how much money do you earn? And I'm like, are you taking the piss?
They're so
Would you go
brazen.
And ask Doris down the road how much she earns, or Pat up the street? No.
So brave.
You don't know what everyone else's salary is. Why do you need to know mine?
Always. There's one of the first questions. It's how you do it and how much. All the time.
Always.
I'm like, I didn't tell people, you didn't ask me this question before I went full time.
No.
So why are you asking me
but
now?
But also when you worked in insurance, when's it, like, how many times did people ask you how much you earn?
That's what I mean. Nobody asked me.
People don't.
No one asked me.
Honestly, I find it so rude. And I made a TikTok about it before. And I said, like, why is it in our industry over every other? I think, to be honest, I think we know why. I think it's because people are like, well, you know, it's this new thing. Like, how does it work?
It's curiosity.
How does it work? But yeah. Then it's the same as like an artist or a novelist, for example. Like, we were watching Traitors the other day, like the first season. Mm. And there's a guy who's an author. And okay. I was like, okay, but how does it actually work? Because, like, do you get paid per copy sold? Do you get a percentage? Like, do you get a payout from the publicist and stuff? Yeah. And I was like, I understand, because there is a curiosity around jobs that you don't really know about, jobs that aren't, like, your standard 9 to 5.
Especially if it's new. And yeah. there's no history behind
it. Or less known about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like artists and stuff, I guess. Anything that's kind of like creative, I think there's such a grey area on how we make money. Like, exactly. Musicians, like all that. There's just such a grey area.
Yeah.
Like, how much money does Taylor Swift make per time it's played on the radio? How much does she make per album sold? Do you know what I mean? How much of her percentage of that Eras tour ticket is she getting?
I would just love to know how much she's got in her bank account. Just
millions.
Sat there, just like in one. Well,
she's a billionaire.
Just in one account. Oh, I'd love to look at it.
She's a billionaire. I reckon easily she's got like 20 mil just sat there.
That's pocket change.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
Down the back of the sofa.
Oh, look, I just slipped. My cat must have knocked it down.
Oh, look, another $100 bill.
Meredith, why did you drop that down?
Meredith.
There? But it's true, isn't it? Like, the way that we're curious about other people, I guess it's the same back. But I just find it so nuts that, like, you would just never dream of going up to someone and being like, so how much money do you make?
Yeah, so how do you...
But influencers, it's like the most commonly asked question.
Oh, that's another thing. It's the unfiltered access to you. They almost have a right to know a lot of things.
I actually had someone say this on the TikTok.
She was like, but you put
your life online, so why can't I ask how much money you make? And I was like, are you joking?
It's difficult because you do put your life out there, but I think that's the thing that people forget as well. It's a highlight reel. It's a snippet. You don't see hardly anything, especially like on Instagram, for example. I don't know if you're the same. I will bulk film 5 or 6 reels, so they are filmed in the same day and then they're shared across, like, and I do that every day for a couple of days, so I've always got like a couple saved up. But then the rest of that, you don't see that. That's just one day that I've done some filming. You don't see the like hours and hours that it takes to like to film it, to edit it, to post it, to it's endless. It's literally endless. It's like giving up. I don't know if you were the same, because obviously you went straight from school, university even. But like, I had to like not go on opportunities like with friends. I had to save up money. I said no to so many things, and like I worked every weekend. So I worked full time throughout the week. I would get home at 5 or 6, and then I'd start working on socials every single day until I went to bed. And then over the weekends, I would go and do like my content shooting and everything else. And it was just it was a full time.
You lose all
job.
Your time.
There was no other time. So like, I never used to see my friends. Like, they all went on like these lovely holidays together. Like when we like in the early days when we were a bit younger, and they went on all these lovely trips and stuff, and I didn't. Because like, I need to work. I'm working on my socials, and people don't. People are kind of like, oh, but it's just Instagram. I'm like, no, babe.
Oh my God. So I had it. So I obviously came out of university and kind of straight into it. So I think I must have had it for maybe a year or two before uni. Yeah. I can't really remember time frames, but I remember having it, and I would vlog, and I mainly did YouTube. It was kind of before Instagram was like a big deal. Mm. So obviously I had YouTube. YouTube was kind of where all the things were. And then I had Instagram as well, and I had a blog.
Yeah.
So that was like the three that we had. Like,
Holy
TikTok
Trinity,
didn't exist
you,
then, you know?
If you will.
Yeah, so like, it was more that kind of thing. And I remember I would go to uni every day of the week, and I'd be in uni. I did fashion design, so it's a pretty demanding degree. Yeah, like you, the hours of stuff you had to put in was like, if I wasn't at uni making clothes, I was at home making clothes. If I was doing a project, I put hours of my life into this project. Like I didn't stop to even eat half the time. Like I was eating like super noodles and stuff because that's like all I had time to make.
Yeah.
Or like toast because it was just convenience.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in third year, and I had two jobs. I also did my YouTube and my Instagram, and I did a degree. So I worked in a bar, and I would do like Friday night in the bar. Then I'd be up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. I'd go work in a supermarket till like 4 o'clock, come home, eat, and then I'd be straight back in the bar again. And then back in literally all weekend, night and day. And then also doing socials alongside. So like every spare minute I had, I was doing stuff. And I remember getting to third year, and my dad was like, look, Jess, like, do we think it's time to give up the Instagram now? Like, do we think it's time to give it all up? And I was like, but why?
Yeah.
No. And he was like, well, you know, you're taking so much time away from your studies and you're doing all this stuff. And like, maybe we need to start focusing on that again. And I said, do you realize like the only reason I've afforded my degree is because I've done this.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't making a lot. I was probably making, God, like £400 a month or something off of it. But it was more the fact that like my jobs alone weren't making me enough money to support my degree.
Wasn't topping it up
Bloody
enough.
Expensive degree as well. Yeah. Like doing fashion design, buying fabric. Oh my God, the cost of fabric. The cost of fabric. No. The cost of fabric, the cost of InDesign, the cost of Premiere Pro, all these softwares that you needed.
Yeah, it's the software.
Oh my God. And like even having to physically print a project, the paper, you had to use nice quality paper because God forbid you use normal A4 that you bought from Tesco's.
How dare you?
Honestly.
Rude.
But it was the same kind of thing where it was like working flat out night and day. And then the minute I went full time, it's almost that thing of you had to really, really graft. Like you were working flat out because it's almost that thing of where in a normal job, you can go to work, you do your job, you come home. With us, I think where it is a bit more...
It's 24/7.
Yeah, it's 24/7. No and it's off. Like, if I don't work,
I don't get paid.
I'm not getting paid.
Yeah.
I can't just sit at my desk and fart around and like, you know, chat to...
Flick my mouse about.
Yeah, flick my mouse about, talk to my neighbour,
yeah.
Go get some coffee and stuff, like maybe eat some snacks and chat the whole day and I still get paid the same way. Just not how it works. No. Granted, sometimes you could have a couple of weeks where you do next to nothing and you just get some really good ads come in.
Yeah, you're just lucky.
But it's not like... It's not the same.
No.
And I think that's where it gets a lot of forgotten.
Oh, it's just...
That didn't even make sense, but you know what I mean.
No, exactly. It's exactly the case. Like, from the minute my eyes open, I'm working.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem as well. Like, people don't think that I'm working because it's on my phone. Everything's on my phone. And so people assume that I'm not working. People just think I'm mindlessly scrolling. I'm like, babes, you don't get it.
Yeah.
This is intense. Like, it's never ending. It's the constant access, like we were saying, it's the constant access to you. It's the replying to, even when you're not posting and stuff, it's maintaining your audience.
Yeah.
And it's replying to comments. It's like the linking of things that people are like
sending links
crazy over. People really are like keen on it, which is great. But and then, for example, I post in the evening. So like most people I know post in the morning, so I'm working all day, I'm doing all of that, and then I'll finish at like say 6 o'clock when Ben comes home from work. We will like have a chat for a bit. We'll eat some dinner. 8 o'clock I'm posting. And then from 8 o'clock until we go to bed, I'm working. So Ben's on his own. Like, God love him. He's playing FIFA like on the, like in our living room. And I'm there on my phone. It just looks like I'm just scrolling around, but this is me working.
It's so funny though, because I post in the evenings, but I'm more like I post and then I turn it off.
Oh no.
I post, I'll reply to comments for a little bit. And then I'm like, no, like I've done my links on my stories. I'll just put my phone down. Because I like to have my evening still.
I was saying this to somebody not long ago. I think I have still not got out of the mentality of when I was working full time as well as.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's intense. It's very difficult to turn off. And especially because I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I feel so privileged to be in this situation and to like just have the opportunity. Because I know so many people would give their left arm to be in the same position that I am. But it's very, very intense. It's just... It's busy all the time. And like we were saying, when we go traveling, you're working. Because I was having this conversation with Ben, because I went, last year was the year of travel. Last year, like I manifested the year of travel. I went to like 11 countries last year. It was mental. It was so much fun. But they were working trips. They were content trips. And so Ben was like, when we were like planning where we wanted to go this year for our trips, Ben was like, you've been to so many places. I was like, yeah, but I worked.
That's the thing. If it's like a press trip, like I've been to San Francisco. I did like 4 days. Don't get me wrong. Amazing. Saw a new country. Loved it. It wasn't a holiday. It wasn't traveling in the same way. It was like going to places that we had to go to. You know, you get an itinerary. You're told where to go. Or it's not necessarily with people that you would choose to go away with. But yeah. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love the girls I travel with. And whenever I go on a trip, I always get on so well with them and it's a great time.
Yeah.
But it's not like I've chosen to go on holiday. Like if I was planning a trip to San Fran, would I go with those girls? No, because we're not necessarily like friends outside of work, we travel together because we're working.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. It's a work trip. It's exactly the same as your office sending you to the San Francisco branch.
Doing conferences,
And doing conferences and meetings and businesses with your colleagues.
Although you do get the different experiences of going to cool places.
Yeah, yeah. there are differences, but it's exactly the same situation. But it's just like the fact that you have to, like, if you're doing content as well, you're going to all these beautiful places, but you're not taking it in because you're kind of like, right, where can I get my photos?
Thinking about the content the whole time,
Where can I get my photos? Where is good to change? What is going to look good? What kind of ideas have I got? Especially like if I bring Ben, I'm kind of like, I'm very aware that he is being bought into that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I really want you to have a good time and I want you to enjoy our holiday. Like, we were really lucky. I was sent on a Virgin Voyage cruise. I was able to take Ben, which is amazing. Like, such an amazing perk.
Cruises.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
I really want to go on one.
Have you not been?
No, I've never been on one. I really want to do one.
Oh my God, they're sensational. If anyone's listening.
It looks so fun.
Oh my God, if you've not been on a Virgin Voyage cruise and you're listening and you're thinking about it, it is absolutely wonderful.
Have you got a discount code? Feel free to plug.
Oh my God, I wish I did. This would be the most magical time. But I was really lucky. Like, we've been on two. Like, I was able to take Ben on both times. But yeah, we've been on two Virgin Voyage cruises. Like, we were able to go from Miami and then one round Greece, really luckily. And I was able to take Ben, like, such an amazing perk. But the whole time we were there, I was kind of like, I'm so sorry. Like, they've obviously invited me to go and have a great time, but in exchange for work.
For content.
For work. And so I was getting up, like, by 7 in the morning, getting myself completely ready, which I don't know about anyone else, but putting on makeup on holiday feels like a criminal act. Like, putting on makeup and getting fully ready on holiday in the morning, it feels like a criminal act. So I'll be doing that, go off and do all my photos, like, round when it's quiet, because that's another thing, you have to plan when things are quiet, always. Going off and do that, and then come back and then say to Ben, like, what, like, this is where we are today. Like, you stop in all these different places, don't you? Mm-hmm. Different countries, and like per day of sea days and everything else. We'd stop. I was like, right, Ben.
Not sponsored by Virgin Voyages.
Yeah, not
I
sponsored.
Promise.
If you want to sponsor us, though,
non-spon.
But you'd get off every day, and I'm kind of like, right, Ben, we need to get off like early, so it's not heaving busy. Yeah. You need to be doing this, and this for me. You need to be taking this much content. You need to be taking this. We need to go to this place. I've read about this place. We need to go here, and it's. I felt like I was just dragging the poor boy around. I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, you've taken a week off work. Bless him. It's just intense. Like, you've done a lot. You've done a lot of traveling.
I think because I've done so much, though, I've got a different mindset now to what I used to have. So I used to very much be the same, where it was like, I had to do my makeup, had to make sure I was doing all these things. And I think when we travel, you get people who do message and say like, oh, you know, can you recommend places here? Can you show this? I'm not gonna lie, if I do travel, a lot of the time, like, me and my friend went to Paris a couple of years ago, and I think there's such an expectation that we go to, like, I mean, I'm quite different in this respect because I'm not really like this, but there's an expectation where it's like, you go to breakfast every day and you tell, and then lunch every day, and you're getting dressed up and you're getting really beautiful dinner content. And there's like a whole thing about how you should look presentable at all times and you should show every single place that you go, and it should be beautiful and edited and like
aesthetic.
All this stuff. I'm not going to lie, when I go to Paris or I go on holiday, a lot of the time, my lunch or my dinner will be like picky bits.
Like,
genuinely, it will just be like going back and having like, I don't know, hummus and pita bread and like some crisps or something in the hotel, because I just don't eat out every 5 minutes, because my version of travel is very, I don't do it necessarily to spend loads of money. I try and save money a little bit. And, you know, the flights cost a lot. The hotels cost a lot. I don't always stay in the most bougie places. Like, I literally just did last year a month in Australia and New Zealand with my boyfriend. And one of my biggest dreams was going and doing van life for a bit.
Insane.
We literally lived in a van. When I showed Jade earlier, a van went past. I was like, that's what we lived in. And she was like, absolutely not.
Horror.
It was like,
horror.
It was like a pretty big van, to be fair.
It was a big van, but to
but
live
you
in?
Could never.
And how tall is James, did you say?
He's 6'7".
No.
We had to pick that van because it was the only one that had a bed that
for
was like long ways.
For a long
van,
boy.
Genuinely. It was the only one that had a bed that was like into the van and not across, because he would have killed me if he had to spend that long living in a van where he's like
crumpled.
Literally in a ball in bed.
Oh, his poor
legs. And also standing up. Like, the poor boy literally was like roof to ceiling. And floor to ceiling, sorry. And he was laughing because, well, he wasn't laughing. I was laughing. But every day he was choosing between knocking his feet or knocking his head, because he'd have to like obstacle his way around. Bless him.
What a choice.
I know. So he was either knocking his feet or his head. It was a great time. It was so fun. But I think my version of like travel now, and always kind of has been, is realistic. So like not just always showing these beautiful places and showing the reality, which I never used to do, because it is so about that beautiful aspect, and like making sure that you go to all these places and show the best spots and show like the best places to eat. Whereas now I'm like, I'd rather show you three really good places that I went that maybe aren't the touristy really expensive ones, just and then nicest. Showing you where I actually went, and like a realistic way to travel that place. But it is so funny because it is very much like when you go away, travel vlogs do really well for me. Travel vlogs are some of my most watched. They're the ones that are requested the highest. Like even when I went away last, I think it was last year or the year before, I did a lot of trips. And
a lot of trips.
But I did a lot of trips, and people were like, where's the vlog for Mykonos? And I was like, well, Mykonos is my friend's bachelorette party. Like,
I'm not gonna be doing that.
And there was such an expectation that I should vlog everything. And I was like, there's certain things that you maybe don't want to.
You
want to
keep and, back.
You know, weekly vlogs, like you said, you get up and you're thinking about work the minute you wake up. A lot of the time in my weekly vlogs, I don't show me working.
No.
Because I weekly vlog every week. Like, it's a lot. But I love doing it. It's my favourite thing to do ever. And I also don't want it to come across that we're ungrateful in this podcast.
No, please.
We are so not. We're just trying to explain the other side of things that people don't see. But the weekly vlogs, like, the minute I open my eyes, I'm like, okay, what parts of my day would be good to get in this vlog? Because I don't want it to be boring.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm literally just stood in various different angles of my living room, and that's all I do all week because I'm at home. But I don't want to just show what I'm doing for work, because I'm like, that's really boring. If all I'm doing is saying, oh, I'm filming these reels and, you
more,
know.
Yeah, there's more than that.
Yeah, like if we were out today and all I'm showing is us taking pictures, like it's boring.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone wants to see that. So you show the other side, and then it's like, well, how do you, you know, I'm then having to work constantly because every time that camera is in front of me and I'm talking, that's work.
Exactly.
And it's trying to like make it entertaining and make it worthwhile.
Make it
it's a lot.
Watch-worthy.
Like, what am I doing in my day that's interesting? If I'm at home, what can I talk about that's interesting? Sometimes my whole vlog is me making five dinners because that's all I can think of that's actually been like interesting.
So like I've just decided to do a YouTube. I uploaded my first vlog. It is essentially just me chatting either in my back room or in my car.
Yeah,
because my week is, it's boring.
Or some montages.
It's some montages. So
but you know what?
Clips.
I love the boring. I love watching people's vlogs when they're doing nothing. I think they're so much more interesting than when they're running around frantic. Because do you not find, like today, for example, I have done the odd little montage-y clip because we've been so busy that I haven't actually spoken to my camera once.
No.
But I'm vlogging.
Yeah,
but
it's
then
still happening.
I find like that kind of clip, yes, I would love to do more of like us chatting and you know, parts of our days, but I think sometimes it's so hard because when you're doing things, you're doing things.
Yeah,
so
you're busy.
You can't just keep whacking a camera in people's faces. Like I don't vlog with my boyfriend. He does not like social media. He hates it.
Mine's
won't
the same.
Be in it. Doesn't have any interest. His last three posts on Instagram is us on Christmas in 2020, the black square for Black Lives Matter.
Oh my god!
And then one
ago.
From like 2016 when he was traveling.
Gosh,
genuinely, he does not use social media.
I think. Ben's was the cruise we went on in December, not the one just gone, the one before. And then before that, it was like 2018. I think it was
boys
when
just don't use it.
We were
the
on
same
the,
way.
I think it was when we were on the cruise, and then we were in New York, and we went to New York in 2019. He's got like four posts. We have about eight photos together, and we've been together for 8 years.
Yeah, but boys just don't do it.
I
think, like, I don't get me wrong. I think it's great when people put their partners in it, and like when they have friends and stuff. But I find it so much harder to do things like vlogging. Like I think being a one-woman show on a vlog is so much harder than having someone to interact with. Like if I watch people where they've got like their partner in it, and you know, they bounce off each other, and then their friends are in it, their kids are in it, whatever, it's so much easier because you've got more interaction. Whereas when you're a one-woman show, it's so much harder because it's just you.
Yeah.
Like you're
what
just
you
performing
say?
By yourself.
Yeah, what do you say? You're trying to be entertaining, but you can only be so funny.
I mean, I like to think of my weekly vlogs as a one-woman stand-up comedy show, so
I
absolutely don't. Genuinely, I am so not funny.
Genuinely, I try and film myself, I'm like, that wasn't funny.
You know, I just dance around my house. The amount of times I've done montages and I'm just dancing around my kitchen and I'm like, what the flip are you doing? You absolute psychopath. Like there's no one, genuinely, there's no one home. And you know when the coffee machine's like, I've got clips of me literally being like, like dancing around the kitchen. And I'm like, God help you. You must be so bored working from home.
You catch yourself every now and then, don't you? Like, good Lord, what am I doing?
Like, but do you know what? If it wasn't for the vlogs and like...
You wouldn't bother.
Or like, you know, like chatting to a reel, for example, like chatty reel or TikTok, I wouldn't speak to another human for most of my day.
No, same.
When I'm working from home.
Same. It's the only time. I voice note loads of people and that's about it. And then I'm just waiting for them to reply like, please.
Yeah.
Please be it's, my friend.
I think that's the other part, isn't it? Where it's like...
Lonely. It's... This industry can be very, very lonely. Yeah. Whilst it's super social. We were saying this
so
earlier.
So sociable, but so lonely at the same time.
Yes. Like... They're polar opposites. There's no middle ground. You're either at events, you're shooting, you're like in like a huge group of people, you're networking, or you're at home by yourself with your laptop.
Yeah.
There's no middle at all. And it can be very, very isolating, especially like for me, because I worked in an office, like from an office culture, and like I was in insurance. So insurance is a very social industry.
A lot of sales and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That kind of thing. So it was really, really social, and like I was part of a big team, and so we were all very like chummy. And so then going from that to then working by myself, it's just, it's wild. The comparison like is unbelievable, and it's so difficult to get motivated sometimes. Because every now, I don't know if you're the same, every now and then I catch myself, I'm like, is this really important though?
Yeah. But I actually think that's something that everyone does. Like, if you think about the work culture now compared to like pre-COVID, so many people work from home now. Like, one of my best friends, her job is exclusively working from home. And like, everyone I know who works in an office, 9 out of 10 of them don't go in every day of the week. They go in 3 or 4 days a week. And it's like, oh, you know, your office hours are, you have to be in the office for this many days, but you can work from home.
Okay.
And I think it's so... There's so many more people in that situation that can probably relate listening who do work from home and kind of understand. But obviously we don't have the same thing where we're not on calls with people. We're not messaging people all the time in our workplace.
No.
And I think as much as I absolutely adore, I genuinely, I am so, so grateful that this is my job. And I absolutely love it.
Yeah. It's a privilege.
I could never see myself doing anything else. I love it. I love the freedom. I love how many people I get to connect with.
Yeah.
Even creating this podcast with the Good Vibes Club, like I just really love that I've got this amazing group of women that I'm able to, you know, chat to, inspire, learn from, grow with, all these kind of things.
It's a community, a proper community.
But it does feel sometimes like even though you get all these DMs and, you know, you're messaging people throughout the day, and I record these podcasts and I'm talking to people and I'm talking to a camera. Like, I watched a vlog of Megan Grubb earlier, and she was saying in this vlog, sometimes she's like, I just wish it was live, because I'm talking to a camera and someone's watching and you're watching it right now and you're listening.
Yeah.
But not right now.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's kind of lonely that I'm literally sat in my room just talking to a camera.
I'm talking
like,
to myself.
Her husband and her baby are in the house as well. So it's not completely lonely. But like, it's just that thing of like, you're sat on your own and you're talking to a camera. So you're talking to people, but you're not. And it does feel so lonely.
It's almost
sometimes.
Like you're talking to it's future people, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's a weird concept. And it's only until you shove a camera in your face, you realize how much skill there is involved in it, because it's
talking to a camera is another world.
It's
isn't it?
Unbelievable. I've wanted to start a YouTube for years. I've only just plucked up the courage. I tried to do it like 2 years ago. I sat down with a camera in front of me, and I've still got the video. I just sit in complete silence for about 5 minutes because I felt so awkward. I didn't know what to do with myself. It's just me being like,
just sat there like, hello.
It's so awkward and so embarrassing. But like, that's the thing as well. That's the thing that, like, again, like, nobody, you don't know unless you're in the industry. There's so much skill involved. It might not feel like a skill. You might not ever consider it a skill, but there's so much work and like experience that goes into it all.
If not even just for the fact that we're almost like presenting, you're selling, you're editing. So you have to learn how to edit pictures. You have to learn how to use software. You have to learn angles. You have to learn how to, you know, set up a camera to film or to edit. It's film or shoot. You have to learn like everything. Like, even podcasting. I talk all the time about this podcast and how the first time I ever did an episode, I bought a microphone and I was like, I'll be fine. I'll work it out. It'll be fine. I kid you not, I bought this episode. James will laugh so much whenever I tell this story. But I bought the microphone and I sat there and I put it on the table and I went, what now? And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, I've bought the microphone, but I didn't even think
let's
about,
begin.
Yeah, I was like, what software do I need? What, you know, what do I do with this? And don't get me wrong, I'm still learning. Like, we're in a studio now, it's beautiful, this audio is going to be amazing. But when I do these episodes at home on my own, I'm still learning. Like,
yeah,
I know how to do YouTube and stuff. I've done that for a while. But when it comes to something new like podcasting, it's such a skill. Like, to be able to, you know, record without all the echo, to edit the audio without all the sounds and whatever, to then be able to, you know, put the snippets together, think of the episode ideas. There's so much more to it. It's not just sitting down in front of a microphone or a camera, or, you know, showing your outfit and you've just taken a quick snap on the street.
That's it. And it's like coming up with, it's coming up with content ideas.
So creative, isn't it?
It's the creativity behind. And especially if you don't, like, I don't have management. I don't know many girlies that don't have management. So then it's all of the outreach, it's financing, it's negotiation, it's sales, it's pitching, it's
learning to read contracts.
Learning to read contracts, it's legal.
Do you know what? The one big thing that I had a conversation with someone about the other day was the legal side of it. And
it's unbelievable.
She's like, one of my friends is quite new in the industry, like newly making money and stuff. Okay. And she was like, what do I do about an accountant stuff? She's like, how do I do my taxes? And I was like, do you know what? I haven't even thought about the fact that that's something you have to learn.
Yeah, you have to learn how to do your taxes.
And pensions, madam. I'm sorry to you about this. I am so, so hot on self-employed girlies getting pensions because we don't have one.
No.
We don't get mat leave. We don't get pensions. We don't get sick pay. We don't get all these perks that you get in a normal job. Granted, it's our choice. But things like a pension, it's all fine to earn money now. But what are we doing when we're old if that state pension's
now
not
what?
Very much?
Yeah, now what?
Like, I had a chat to my mum about it the other day and like, we were saying, if you had a pension pot that's 100 grand, you'll be like, oh my God, sick. That's quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you actually think about that, we're retired at like, say for example, 65.
Oh, it's nothing.
You live till 95, that's 30 years.
Yeah, what are you doing with that?
Even 30 grand a year, you're only lasting 3 years before you're broke. So what do you then fall back on? So little things like that, I think it's so important to have this knowledge, but there's no knowledge out there.
No.
So it's important to share these things. And, you know, accountants, like my friend was like, well, what do I expense? And I was like, well, you know, it's a grey area.
Yeah, it's very higgledy-piggledy, isn't it? Like, who knows?
No one actually, I don't even think accountants fully know. No. I think they kind of wing it and see
everyone's
what they can do.
Everyone's just kind of seeing what fits, trying stuff on and seeing what fits. But that's the other thing as well, like you touched on it a second ago. You don't know when you were getting paid. You don't know when you're being paid. Like with a monthly paycheck, you know exactly how much is coming in. You can like plan your life around it. There are some months where I've not made a penny, not made one penny. And then that's another misconception is that they think that we are rolling in it.
That's one of my least favorite things that people think is that every influencer, everyone thinks if you have a certain amount of followers, you must have so much money.
Yeah,
I think the minute you hit like 100K, everyone's like, well, you know, you've got loads of money.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like, do I?
Like, I don't. Would you like to tell my bank
account? I actually know, out of all of the people I know who do influencing, some of them are still on, you know, average UK salaries. Some of them earn mega money. Some of them are in the middle. Like you said, sometimes we earn nothing. Sometimes we earn loads.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to gauge because you just don't know. Because jobs could be rolling in. Or you could get nothing. I know girls of the same following, same engagement, everything. One's coining it, the other one's not getting much.
Exactly.
Like it's just so vague and grey in like what you get and stuff. There's no way to know how much someone earns.
No. And it's like you said, there could be months where you make bank. Like it could do really, really well. You could be earning an absolute fortune one particular month and then you don't make anything for the next three.
It's so true.
What
and
do you
also
do?
The one thing, I went to like a finance seminar thing with a girl called Sophia. I'll leave her Instagram down below if anyone's interested in like financial advisors and stuff. She specializes in women. Great to know. Love to see it. But she was talking about, you know, how there's this whole thing of lifestyle inflation. So you could have a load of people who are buying constant designer bags and, you know, they've got a Range Rover and they've got, you know, a Louis Vuitton bag and they've got a Prada bag and they're always wearing really expensive outfits. They live in a beautiful 7-bedroom home, all these things. That person could have next to nothing in their bank account because they could spend all their money on these lifestyle things. And I think we're always like looking at this materialistic stuff as a sign of wealth and it's not always a sign of wealth. And don't get me wrong, like I had a Range Rover. I loved my Range Rover.
Yeah.
I recently got rid of it because I was like, why am I spending so much money on this ridiculous car that costs a fortune when that money could actually be going into my pension or a savings account or an investment?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? In my little no-buy January, I thought, let's be a bit savvy here, Jess. Let's get a cheaper car. We don't need a flashy car. Let's get something a little bit cheaper. And the money that I'm saving every month, I can pop into a savings account my future. Yes, great fun to have a Range Rover sat on the driveway.
Lovely, gorgeous.
Would I rather have that? Yes, absolutely. It's gorgeous. But I would also, looking at it realistically, I would rather have money in my bank account that's then growing so that I'm rich when I'm older rather than just looking rich now. And I think we all see material things as a sign of wealth. And don't get me wrong, there is people who have these things who are so wealthy. Good for them. Amazing.
Love that for you. Yeah.
But there's also a lot of people who have these things that can't afford stuff.
No.
Like, I don't know if you saw it as well recently, but there was a girl that was going viral on TikTok and she was like, I have made myself broke
trying to be an influencer.
Oh my God, she had been buying
so much hauls, like stuff to do hauls.
No.
Had got in credit card debt because she'd been keeping stuff because she wanted all the latest trends, like the Sambas and the Uggs and whatever. And this girl had literally made herself broke trying to keep up with trends.
Love her.
Because obviously you see all this stuff online, you don't need it all.
But that's the thing as well. That's another.
That was such a long tangent. I'm so sorry.
Then that's the other thing, that like you assume that we keep everything. Not everyone keeps everything. A lot of people buy stuff, show you, send it back.
But you know what? So do normal people.
So do normal people.
The girl who does my brows and stuff. Yeah. We were having this conversation before and she was going on holiday and she was like, yeah, I bought like outfits from all these different places. She's like, everything is going back.
Yeah.
And I was like, but isn't it funny how you are sending everything back because you don't like it or it doesn't fit, but then you expect, or not her specifically, but
yeah, not you,
people expect that like every influencer, all that haul stuff is being kept, or they get annoyed that all of that stuff is going back. And I'm like, yeah, but you're like, I don't actually really do haul videos and stuff anymore because I'm trying to do more of like a capsule wardrobe thing. I'm trying to be a bit more minimal. Mm-hmm. But I think people expect that everything that we buy, we keep.
It's just not the case.
And it's so not the case. But then they also get annoyed when you send it all back. But then normal people also, like, I don't know anyone who buys a full order from H&M, Zara, wherever, and keeps everything.
It's just not the
case. You keep one or two and you send the rest back.
I think that's the other thing. It's, especially with hauls and stuff, it's just, it's not ramming it down your throat to be like, you need to buy every single one of these things. It's just showing you
on a normal body.
It's just showing you what it looks like. And if you get some, like, some style inspiration, great. If you like that particular top, phenomenal, great. It's giving you a little bit of inspiration. There's never any pressure to actually buy anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that really, like, sticks in my craw about it, is people assume it's all, you must buy this, you like consumption. You don't need to. I'm just showing you what's out there, what you can possibly do, what you can put together, how you can style what you've already got.
Yeah.
What you've already got, like, especially like, I don't know, like jeans and a nice top. Mm. Everyone's got a pair of jeans. Everyone's got a pair of heels. You've got a top somewhere that's probably similar.
Here's a different nice top that you might want to get to add to your collection.
Yeah, exactly. Here's a nice little hairband or something. Here's a cute little pair of shoes. It's not, you have to, you could.
Yeah. And I think alongside that, it's the whole thing of like, we're telling people they must keep buying things have the latest this and this.
It's
and
not
I think
the case.
When I see stuff online, there's actually like, I think there's just a big misconception of like, we're all just selling all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also, you know, influencers is such a broad term. And I think under that umbrella, you've got Love Islanders, you've got reality stars, you've got like all these different people who count as technically, like, anyone could be an influencer. You can title yourself as an influencer with 20K, you know, like 20K, 20 followers, I meant 20 followers. But like anyone can call themselves an influencer. Yeah. Anyone can take a picture. Anyone can open an Instagram account. Anyone can start a TikTok. It's just, there's just so many people that we all get tainted with the same brush. Yes. And I think that's the hard bit.
It gets hard.
Yeah. Not like most people I follow and know, you know, they're sharing different ways to do your hair, different like makeup products they love. It's not telling you to buy it, it's just saying what's good.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the people who are like my kind of, I mean, it's kind of the thing I do. It's probably what you see us a lot of as well and do, but it's the ways to wear things you've already got.
Ways
so
to
like,
wear.
You know,
absolutely.
Here's 10 ways to wear the coat of the moment because we don't want you to buy it and not know how to wear it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe you've got a pair of blue denim. We're both basically sat in the same outfit
right now.
We're
essentially in like different coloured outfits of the same thing.
Everyone automatically expects that influencers are just constantly selling stuff, and it's not the case. Like, there's such a big movement, specifically now, I'd say, where everyone kind of is showing you ways to make do with what you've got. And we are aware there's a cost of living. Everyone's aware there's a cost of living. Not everyone can spend loads of money. And I think it's important to just not look at influencers and, you know, spread hate comments and think that we're just selling stuff all the time. Because granted, some people do. That's
of
fine.
Course.
That's what's, you know, it's the nature of Instagram. Same as marketing with billboards and magazines.
It's
and
the same thing as print. It's the same thing as print and
adverts.
It's just
a different way.
It's just a different way. But you get a little bit of personality with it.
Yeah, it's a bit different. It's probably a better opinion. Like,
it's an honest opinion
for the most part.
Yeah. That's another episode.
But we're going to round it up here because we have been chatting for England. But I hope that gave you a little bit of insight into, you know, the other side of things, because I think there's such a misconception of
Absolutely.
How much we earn and what we do with our time. And, you know, that we live this really lavish life where we just swan around in free clothes all the time and we don't do any work.
Exactly.
And we actually do.
We work really hard,
we
swear.
Really hard,
I promise.
But thanks for coming on for another episode. It was
Thank
good to
you
have
so much
you.
For having me.
It's actually been so fun. Should we just make you a regular?
Okay, I'll be here.
You can just be part two of the Good Vibes one. Oh my God,
oh
imagine.
Oh my God, stop. Jess and Jade.
J and J. Stop, we're going to get ahead of ourselves. We need to round up this episode.
We must leave.
If you want her back, let me know and we can get her on for some more.
They're like, no, I'm done with her.
But thank you again for coming on. I hope you guys like the episode. Thank you for listening and we'll see you in the next one.
See you next time.
Bye. Did you know the Good Vibes Club also runs events around the UK? Well, now you do. So if you want to get your hands on a ticket, make sure you head over to thegoodvibesclub.co.uk to search our upcoming events and get on board with something new. Whether you want to make some new friends or try something that you've always wanted to do, come along and join one of our events. And if there's anything that you'd love to do that we aren't doing yet, let us know and we can add it to the list. See you there, guys.